Don't Look Back with Kaz Tran.
Claire Bowditch is a woman with a lot on her plate. She's a mum of three, a musician with seven albums under her belt, it can't be natural, and an eighth on the way. She heads up a project that builds bridges between business and the creative arts. And this year, she's become a Full Tilt talk show host on Melbourne ABC local radio's lunch program, and she is romping it in. I wanted to sit down and chat with her about how she's managing to keep so many balls in the air at once and maintain a creative drive.
Every part of my life is entwined in another part of my life. You know, my at the moment, the album we've been writing is about this middle part of you know, the bit in between in real life. So we get a lot of love songs about the start of a love affair, and we get a lot of love songs about the end of a love affair. But there's very little about this murky middle. And the whole album is about the middle, you know, the real stuff. And so my real life is informing that music, and the music is informing the conversations that we're having. The people that we get on the show and the talk back from the audience is all going into the album as well. So it's pretty messy and chaotic, to be honest. And I do have quite set routines. I get up very early of a morning. I'll be up between 5:30 and 6:30, and I don't need to because my children will now sleep in. But for me, I do that, and I do have a little bit of time to myself every morning before the rest of the day rolls out.
She might be new to her job on the radio, but she's got plenty sorted out already. So this podcast is all about that one pivotal song that continues to inform a person's life. I asked Claire what that song is for her.
I have a number of songs that have just played enormous key roles at a certain time in one's life. So, you know, there were ones that it wasn't. We could have talked about Blue by Joni Mitchell.
Blue.
Which I stumbled upon when I was 15, which changed the trajectory of what I thought it was to be a sensitive creative type in the world. And we could have talked about Jeff Buckley's Grace, which again played that role.
My fading voice is a
but a song that did appear to me as a 19-year-old that I've never been able to shake is High and Dry from The Bends by Radiohead. So I believe I was embroiled in the middle of that relationship that you might have if you're about 19 and you've been going out with someone for a few years and you've realised you're probably not right for each other, but you adore each other, so you keep giving it a crack. And it gets messier and messier and messier. And eventually you decide that the only way to disentangle oneself is to move overseas. That's what I did at the age of 19. I decided to move to London, where I would magically reinvent my life.
Well, that was Claire's great hope in taking this bold geographical move. In reality, a pretty drastic measure.
It wasn't enough to just sort of gently have an ending of a relationship. There's so much hurt and so much shame that for me, the idea was just leave the country. And I left the country without enough money in my bank account and without being really, you know, emotionally stable enough to to pull it off. So, so I was 19, 20, and the reason this song sits in my heart the way it does is I believe it was on a mixed tape that a friend made for me, and I believe I listened to it on the plane on the way over.
Right.
And it became one of the first songs that I was able to play on guitar. I only really picked up guitar, a couple of chords around that time. And so for me, this it was both, had a lot of guts to it. It was lamenting, you know, don't leave me high, don't leave me dry. That kind of just tied into that sense of utter betrayal and confusion and sadness and guilt. And it also lifted me up, made me feel hopeful. For some odd reason, the chords, the way they progress. I mean, I still sing it as part of my set now, and it's a song that I still love.
You broke another mirror. You're turning into something new enough. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. Don't leave me high.
I asked Claire to tell me more about what sounded like a precarious time in London.
I don't know if it's a story that I've ever really told in its entirety, but I'll give you a taste of it. I think I've sort of hinted at it throughout the years. But when I went to England, I said that I wasn't really in the kind of frame of mind where one should probably, you know, go and try and start a new life for themselves. And we had, so I only lasted in England for a few months, and the reason I came home was because I started experiencing something at the time that I had no name for. And I look back now and I know that I was having chronic panic attacks, and I was really in the depth of a very acute anxiety and depression. And I didn't know that because I was the cheery person at the party. I was the big jolly person, you know, and I refused to admit that these feelings that I was having, this you know, sense of foreboding and this fear that I'd have in the tube, you know, down in the underground in London, I refused to accept that was what a doctor said to me it was. You know, I went and said, I think I've got a virus, everything feels quite surreal. And I was, you know, he told me that I was grieving deeply and that he thought I should probably go home because what I was experiencing was not a virus. It was actually anxiety and depression. So that, in a way, is the start of me owning my experience as an artist and starting to realise that I had some stories in the world to tell. But I was so affected and so sensitised at this time that I actually couldn't listen to music or even read newspapers for quite a few months when I came home. Like, I lived a really simple life. And again, this song, High and Dry, was one of the songs that trickled back in. And it was both a triggerer of pain, but also a little light at the end of the tunnel. You know, when I started to be able to listen to music again without having the symptoms of anxiety and panic, I realised I was coming back to being a functional human being.
A really moving story that Claire Bowditch has told of a very dark time in her life. And she does so because she can share how she got through it.
I think now it's 20 years in the past, so I've become more courageous about speaking my story out loud over the last, I guess, decade a bit. But I'm really getting there now. I'm sort of ready for the conversation. I always like to say whenever I mention anxiety and depression, for me, the things that helped and the things that allowed me to have, that was really a very acute experience, but thankfully I've never had anything of that severity again. So that's 20 years on. That's something to mention. Not that I'm not still sensitive and don't still have to watch how much I sleep, and because really it was the insomnia that triggered my anxiety. There was a great book that I read, a little book by a doctor called Dr. Claire Weeks. And I think for anyone who's ever gone through anxiety, you think you're just going mad. You actually, you know, you just think, this is not who I thought I would be. And you really judge yourself. And this book, it was a gentle book written by this old Australian doctor who never said until the end of her life that she herself had suffered from what she called nervous tension. But it was called Self-Help for Your Nerves. And I don't even know if you can buy it anymore, but it was that gentle voice explaining, hey, what you're going through is this. Your body's had a shock. There's adrenaline, there's cortisol, there's fight or flight. Putting it into context 20 years ago, before we had a lot of conversation around neuroscience, that was really key. And you know what else helped me? Writing songs. A girlfriend's mum said to me, Claire, you need to write songs. And I thought, you can't make your living being a songwriter, and who the hell would want to hear my songs anyway? You know, they're going to be whingy and mopey, and what have I got to share? So sometimes those crisis moments, and it did for me, it really gave me a chance to sort of step back into humanity, and this song was a companion during that time.
just thinking about the responses and the fans that you have had over so many releases, over so many years, you know, they're very ardent, devoted fans who, you know, really connect. I mean, I get a similar kind of feeling listening to your music as well and you telling those stories. There is a gentle knowingness, even though you're, you know, it's coming from a place of, you know, suffering or grief or whatever.
Yeah.
Your voice transmits this, it's going to be okay thing.
That's so amazing to hear. It makes me actually quite emotional, Kaz, because it's what you kind of hope for when you start writing songs, actually. What the hell am I doing? But it is, I remember in that very, very dark time, I remember going, okay, I don't feel like I'm much use to myself at this moment in time, but if I can do something that's useful to someone else, and that gives me a reason to keep going for this moment in time. So I still, when I think about the kindness and the loyalty and the stories that people have shared with me, all because I just wrote a song and put it out in the air, it means so much to me. Just hard to even put into words.
As Claire Bowditch and I pass around the tissue box and pull ourselves together, I asked her to explain the unique qualities of this song and why she got so hooked by Radiohead's High and Dry.
Tom York's got that kind of voice. He also had that kind of persona because you knew he had a droopy eye and you knew that he was conscious about being in clips. These are things that we kind of knew. We knew that he didn't present like, you know, your typical ab-showing rock star. You know, you knew that he was, you can hear the difference in him, in his voice. You know that he had this, you could hear that high-pitchedness, that unusually feminine ability and that sort of choral ability. And I think it's that mixture of things too. So you've got the guitars, the driving guitars and the sort of kick, that beautiful start.
Mm.
At the start of the song and then... So again, it's this beautiful intersectional song. There's a bit of choir in his voice, but it's rock and roll. And I think that's something that I responded to because who the hell knows where we fit? Like I said before, we're all in these intersectional beings. We think we're supposed to fit in this category or that one. And you can just see, you know, from the variety of different genres that Radiohead have gone on to explore, that there was a lot going on musically for them. But this was just one beautiful pop moment. You know, it was pop and rock and roll and a bit of choral and a bit of emotion and a bit of subconscious stuff. Like, who really knows what these sayings, what the lyrics mean? Two jumps in a week, well, you think that's pretty clever, don't you, boy? But it's like Tom York had the ability to talk from, to voice the inner critic. And in a lot of his songs, you hear that inner critic and that quiet, mopey voice, and you hear how he tries to transform it. I just find it fascinating. I've never really analysed it until now. I just knew that I liked it.
So this iconic song from The Bends soundtracked and helped her through a major time in her life. I wondered what this song meant to her still.
Well, I'm really lucky to play with a big kind of open marriage of players. So we have lots of rotating members in our band, depending on where they're at in their life, where we're at with our musical sound and so on. And one of the people who I've been playing with lately is this fantastic guitarist called Andre Warhurst. And we play this song together, which is just such a thrill because, you know, we're of the same Gen X's, I guess you could call us. Yeah. And so when I play it now myself, when we hear that song, it's a different feeling to obviously listening to Tom York and Radiohead play it. But when we play it, the thing that's beautiful is the audience, because for some reason a lot of us know this song. It sticks with us. For some reason, you know, we remember the lyrics to this song. They're very simple. Don't leave me high, don't leave me dry. So everyone joins us on the chorus and it's perfect.
A woman with a lot of heart and courage, Claire Bowditch. If this conversation has raised issues for you, support is available from Beyond Blue, 1300 224 636, and through Lifeline on 131114. Next week on Don't Look Back, we talk to Ben Lee about a key song from an enduring album.
There's the one about Elvis, there's I Want to Play That Rock and Roll, and there's that Everything Is Free Now, which for me was always about Napster. I don't know whether that's what she wrote about, but it came out right after that. And she said, everything is free now. That's what they say. Everything I've ever done, I've got to give it away.
For more songs that changed it all, subscribe now to Double J's Don't Look Back podcast.